Three Wars by Emile Zola. War. In France, to men of my generation, men who have passed their 50th year, this terrible word awakens three special memories. The memory of the Crimean expedition, of the campaign in Italy, and of our disasters in 1870. What victories, what defeats, and what a lesson. Assuredly, war is accursed. It is a horrible thing that nations should cut each other's throats. According to our progressive humanitarian ideas, war must disappear on the day when nations come to exchange a kiss of peace. There are exalted minds which, beyond their native country, behold humanity and prophesy universal concord. But how these theories fall to pieces on the day when the country is threatened. The philosophers themselves snatch a gun and shoot. All declarations of fraternity are over, and only a cry for extermination rises from the breast of the whole nation. For war is a dark necessity, like death. It may be that we must have something of a dung heap to keep civilization in flower. It is necessary that death should affirm life, and war is like those cataclysms of the antediluvian world which prepared the world of man. We have grown tender. We make moan over every existence that passes away. And yet, do we know how many existences, more or less, are needed to balance the life of the earth? We yield to the idea that an existence is sacred. Perhaps the fatalism of the ancients, which could behold the massacres of old without leaping to a utopia of universal brotherhood, had a truer greatness. To keep ourselves manly, to accept the dark work wrought by death in that night wherein none of us can read, to tell ourselves that, after all, people die, and that there are merely hours in which they die more, this, when all is said, is the wise man's attitude. Those who are angry with war should be angry with all human infirmities. The soft-hearted philosophers who have been loudest in their curses of war have been obliged to perceive that war will be the weapon of progress until the day when, ideal civilization being attained, all nations join in the festival of universal peace. But that ideal civilization lies so remote in the blue future that there will assuredly be fighting for centuries yet. It is the fashionable thing, just now, to consider war as an old remnant of barbarism from which the Republic will one day set us free. To declaim against war is one way of setting up as a progressive person. But let a single cry of alarm arise upon the frontier, let a trumpet sound in the street, and we shall all be shouting for arms. War is in the blood of man. Victor Hugo wrote that only kings desired war, that nations desired only to exchange marks of affection. Alas, that was but a poetic aspiration. The poet has been the high priest of that dream piece of which I spoke. He celebrated the United States of Europe. He put forward the brotherhood of nations and prophesied the new golden age. Nothing could be sweeter or larger. But to be brothers is a trifle. The first thing is to love one another, and the nations do not love one another at all. A falsehood is bad merely in that it is a falsehood. Undoubtedly, a sovereign, when he sees himself in danger, may try the fortune of war against a neighbour in the hope of consolidating his throne by victory.